Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus. Joining us now in studio is Greg Wood and Elaine Essery of Hospice of the Ozarks. Welcome.
Hi, Heather.
Thank you.
Elaine, we're glad to be here.
Yes, I'm glad to have you too. Elaine, you're new to Hospice of the Ozarks.
I am. I've been here going on 6 weeks now. I came down from Chicago, from the city.
I had no clue you were from Chicago.
I know, how can you tell? But I feel very blessed to be part of such an amazing program. It's been it's just been a great experience, and I love the Mountain Home area. It's a bit of a difference from where I was before, but I love it.
Yeah. I always love to ask people, you know, tell us your thoughts on our little healthcare community. You know, we're very proud people here, and we think we've got, you know, the best of the best and one of the best kept secrets, you know, around. But coming from Chicago, you know, what were your initial thoughts of our healthcare community?
You know, I really didn't know what to expect, but I have to say that I was really pleasantly surprised and impressed, because for such a small town, you have so much to offer. The hospital is, you know, kind of state of the art, and there are so many, there's the clinics and what the town has to offer, and they seem so far ahead of, it doesn't seem like a small town to me. I mean, it has that small town feel. Everyone's so friendly and warm, and I love it, but I was really, really surprised about everything the town has to offer.
Yeah, Baxter Regional Medical Center will use a line sometimes that says big city healthcare with a small town touch. And I think that is such a true statement when it comes to our healthcare community, Hospice of the Ozarks in particular. I mean, Greg, the hospice house, I mean, has been here for more than 12
years now.
I was going to say more than 10. I knew it was more than 10, but 12 years this month. That building opened up debt-free at that time and has continued to grow. But Hospice of the Ozarks is so much more than just the hospice house. I mean, there are so many different services.
Yeah, Heather, thank you so much for saying that, because it's so easy to get our minds wrapped around with we see a particular building and think that's what Hospice of the Ozarks is. And it is a part of who we are, and it's a major part of who we are. But probably the biggest part of what we're doing is all throughout Baxter and Marion County. We are driving, our staff and volunteers are driving 40, 50, 60 miles on a regular basis just to get to folks to help support them in their own homes. So we're blessed. One of the things that you were just speaking with Elaine about was the blessing of a healthcare system like this in a town our size. I'll tell you that in the hospice world, a facility like the hospice house in a community in a rural area of the state is not the normal. In fact, it's the rarity. And so to have that as an extra part of what we do is pretty phenomenal.
Greg, you've been with Hospice of the Ozarks for several years now, but as part of the hospice industry, your entire career coming to us from Oklahoma, yeah. We won't hold that against you. Oklahoma State
so
fan
thankful.
At that, by the way.
Thank you for having grace and mercy in my life.
You won't be cheering for Boomer Sooner coming up in the playoffs,
I have
I'm
no
assuming.
Intentions yeah, of okay. doing that, but I will watch.
We all will watch, for sure. But, you know, like you said, having a hospice house in a community this size, I mean, you were blown away when you first got here.
I couldn't get over the healthcare system. First of all, a hospital this size and the number of physicians associated.
100 plus
doctors yeah. around here, and the different specialties around here was just mind-blowing to me. But then to think, well, there's this not-for-profit group that has figured out how to pull off a hospice house, and in Oklahoma, that was not the story. Our hospice that I was associated with could not pull it off. It just did not have that kind of amazing support that Hospice of the Ozarks in this area pulled off years ago. So it blew my mind away.
And by support, it comes down to financial support. It takes a lot of money to make those services possible.
Those are the two things. The money part and the volunteer part are the two core things that make the hospice house work. If it wasn't for we have volunteers there from 7:30 in the morning till 8 in the evening, 7 days a week. And if they were not there, that would change the absolute culture of what the staff are able to do or not do. So having that volunteer system support is an amazing daily and evening event. But then the financial story, it's very expensive to have a hospice mm-hmm. facility for any hospice organization, because it's run and open 24 hours a day. And That includes meals and utilities and the staff and just all
medicines.
Medicines mm-hmm. that are usually very expensive mm-hmm. at this time in life most of the time. So that's really intense, mm-hmm. and we truly depend on the community to help fill in the blank for us.
Right, and you're a non-profit organization. That's not always the case in the hospice industry as well.
Right, right. Back when I first entered the hospice community, it was 15 years ago now, and the majority of all hospices in the country, 76% of the hospices in this country were nonprofit hospices. Today, that statistic has completely flip-flopped. Now, there are 70% of the, or 60 to 70% of all hospices in this country are for-profit organizations, and a lot of them have become chain. You know, they're connected mm-hmm. to other corporations, and they have locations in several states, and some of them are small and independent, maybe owned by a doctor or a pharmacy or a nursing home. Every hospice has its unique ownership story, every single one, and so we're not all the same. But the nonprofit hospice world has drastically changed to where there's not as many of us.
And what's the unique story of Hospice of the Ozarks?
Well, from what I understand, because I wasn't here when it first started, but in 1979, there was a lady by the name of Dr. Carolyn Wilson, mm-hmm. who was a radiologist as well as committed to finding out how can we help people at the end of their life. And she had heard about a movement that started in 1974 on the East Coast on how can we start a hospice. And so she and some fellow citizens around here went to some trainings and actually began to learn how do we start a hospice organization? How do we take care of the human body, spirit, and mind and their family all around them and make that a package? Well, she started the first hospice with some citizens around here in 1979 and was the first medical director, the first executive director, and volunteers pulled it off. That's how the organization operated until 1986. Then in 1986, Hospice of the Ozarks joined up with Baxter Regional Medical Center as a subsidiary of the hospital. And because we're both nonprofit entities, the visions were similar. And we were able, as a hospice, to bring continuity of care from birth to now we're helping at end of life. And for the hospice benefit, we were able to get the blessing of accounting and human resources without the expense to the hospice. And we could have that with the hospital. So it was a good partnership. And that partnership has been since 1986. So 31 years that partnership has been going on.
How many staff members are a part of Hospice of the Ozarks?
48 today.
How many? 48. How many volunteers?
Just under 100.
That's amazing. I had no idea you had that many.
It is amazing.
Yes. They're working in around 30 to 40 of them are at the hospice house. There's probably another 10, close to 10 in the office. And then we have fundraising activities mm-hmm. As well. So they're doing all kinds of different things for us.
What would it mean if you didn't have those volunteers both in your office and in the house?
Here's the picture financially for us. Just last year, the volunteers provided over 10,000 hours of support during the year, which equals around $250,000. If we as paid staff did the same thing they did, mm-hmm. we would have had to come up with another 250 grand. That is humbling, and it really mattered to us. And that's been very consistent for the last several years, mm-hmm. that kind of number and that kind of support. It's phenomenal.
Most people are familiar, like you said, with the hospice house. I mean, you drive by. Many of us have had experiences there. Yeah. But you also can provide services within the home. And it's up to both the patient and their family on if they would like to be sent to the hospice
That's right.
house or if they would like to stay home.
That's right. Many folks still out of this country, 9 out of 10 people in the latest surveys want to be at home. At end of life, I don't want to be in a room that I'm not really connected to or associated with, and my things aren't near me. Mm-hmm. The privacy is all different. So we still want to be at home, but on occasion, there will be those situations where I want to be at the hospice mm-hmm. house, or I may need to for a particular reason, maybe to get some sort of symptom under control. So I'll go there as a patient for maybe just a couple, 3 days to get that symptom under control. But once I feel good again, as good as it's what good feels to me, mm-hmm. then I want to usually go back home. But sometimes folks don't have anybody as caregivers. Mm-hmm. And that's really grown over the years because our families are so dispersed. We're all over the country. And so I may not have somebody right there at my side when I need them. So the hospice house is one of those options for folks to come and rent a room if they want to.
It is so hard to see in this retirement community that we live in, you know, if the retirees move here away from their families, yeah. you know, and then lose a spouse, and then the other one is diagnosed with a health condition, you yeah. know, and they're on their own. It's so hard to imagine someone going through something like cancer,
right.
you know, on their own. They need help.
Absolutely. And they want it on the inside. They may be screaming it, but you know, there's pride and all those things too. But
absolutely. And you respect that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You do because yeah. this is their journey. And mm-hmm. that's what I think I am so thrilled to be a part of the hospice in my mm-hmm. career and in my life is because it is about what that individual wants. We as the professional and the volunteer just have to adjust mm-hmm. ourselves to serving what they want and need in all of this, because they only get to do this one time.
Elaine, you also offer bereavement support. This time of year, that's very important. Holidays coming up. I mean, it's just it's a hard time of year if you've lost someone recently or you know, for some, it never gets easier. The holidays are always the hardest time of the year.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we have a wonderful bereavement program. Our coordinator, Charlotte Rupp, she's just an amazing person, and what they offer to the families and to the community. It's not just a one-time call or a follow-up. We actually have an entire program put in place, and it goes the course of 13 months. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot for the family, whether it's individual or group counseling. There's a wide variety offered to them to get through that time.
Yeah, we also, in addition to that, that one-on-one, which is so important, mm-hmm. most folks prefer to just have a conversation, probably with Charlotte, or we have some trained volunteers that support Charlotte as well. But then there's times when I want to be in a group where I just want to kind of see if other folks are going through something similar. Mm-hmm. And so we offer the support groups every Monday afternoon, every Tuesday evening. And it's amazing to me. I've been here 5.5 years, and every single session has anywhere from 10 to 20 people continually show up. They back out when they feel like, okay, this isn't for me right now, or I don't want to do this, or thank you, I've been helped. I've been blessed with that. Mm-hmm. But people are always coming and going in those support groups. And some, there's a very small group, but that they'll even want to just be here for a couple years mm-hmm. because they actually want to be the facilitators and teachers mm-hmm. to those that are just entering their loss. And they want to help support them, too. So you just get all kinds of folks coming into that support group setting. But we started offering even a year ago something called the memory pillows, where if wonderful. This was my shirt that was a favorite or my wife enjoyed a lot, most of us as survivors, we will keep that shirt in the closet. My wife would spray the Polo cologne on that and smell that, you know, weeks right. and months from time to time. But when the family comes around, she would not do that. We mourn privately. A memory pillow allows us to have our volunteers come and take this shirt, as my wife in this scenario, she'd be able to bring this shirt and bring it to the Hospice of the Ozarks volunteers. They would make a memory pillow. They'd make a bear, make a round pillow, make a rabbit, make a square, something to put on the sofa. That is now something that can be used in my wife's home. Could lay on the bed. She can hold it at night and feel close, because that's what we do. I mean, I just lost my dog 3 days ago, and you want to find something mm-hmm. that still connects you. And I can't imagine, but as people, we do that even more. We want to find that connection. So our bereavement program is really focused on making sure we help with that.
Well said. Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting with Elaine Essery and Greg Wood of Hospice of the Ozarks. Of course, the Hospice House is located near the campus of Baxter Regional Medical Center, and your offices are also located kind of right across the street from there as well. I'm not sure if many people realize that that's where all your offices are, too.
Yeah, the home program works out of 701 Burnett Drive, which is up the hill from the hospice house, which is on Long Street. So there's just this little gap and little valley.
Long Street. I never knew it had its own street. There
it
you
does.
Go.
It's 774 Long Street is that street that goes outside of Care Manor off of Burnett and takes you up toward the hospital. That's
well, there
called
you go.
Long Street.
Mm-hmm. Learn something every
well,
Saturday on Local
go.
Matters.
Sweet.
There you go. Hey, and if you go by that office, I bet you can find some of the calendars that you have for next year, for 2018. Hard to believe we're already there. I saw a picture of it on KTLO.com, I believe, last
That's right.
week.
That's right.
Pretty cool idea you've got going on.
Well, we were very fortunate that the Pite Center Cancer Support House had a calendar that ran, I believe, 11 or 12 years maybe, called Pause for the Cause, and supported their amazing mission there. And then they decided this last year to no longer have that particular fundraiser. Well, here we are at Hospice of the Ozarks, who has a program called Pet Peace of Mind, which started several years ago with us out of a grant from the PetSmart Foundation. Mm-hmm. Well, we spent all that money. And so we now need to replenish that. And so the support house, Pite Support House, was able to grant us permission to, you guys go ahead and you take off with that fundraiser and see what you can do. So we have for the first time our 2018 Pet Peace of Mind calendar. We did the same type of contest mm-hmm. entries where folks could bring their pet pictures mm-hmm. to us, and then they were voting online, or they would come and vote for $1 a vote and come into the office and take care of that. Then you get your top fundraisers mm-hmm. of that project, and they end up in the calendar.
Was the voting pretty fierce?
It okay. was awesome. Of course, we had nothing to go by other than hearsay of what the other group got to be a part of. But it was amazing how at the very beginning, it was 1 month of voting in the month of August. And the first 7 days was constant on our website. And then folks just dropping in, giving a $20. I want 20 votes for this one, 5 votes for that one kind of thing. And we went all the way through August. There was about a week where it's like, okay, maybe it's over. And then the last week of August, oh no, they're making sure they want their cutie pie in the calendar. So we did really well with that and actually was able to raise enough money to pay for the calendar by just the voting. So now that we're selling the calendars, all of that money is actually going to fund the Pet Peace of Mind program in 2018. And they're good-looking calendars. They're 8.5 by 11. The cover is cute as can be. Just check it out on the website. Actually, you can see the whole calendar on our website under Pet Peace of Mind tab. And it goes to fund these programs in the Pet Peace of Mind program. What happens is if I'm the hospice patient and I'm at the end of my life and I have a poodle and 2 cats as a scenario, my family may or may not want those 3 animals. If they do, that's wonderful, and we try to help make sure all the communication is done well to help with that transition with them, if we can help with that. But there are times where nobody wants that pet or can take that pet. Or here's what we see as well. The pet has not been vaccinated maybe for years, hasn't been to a groomer in maybe 5 years because of no expenses or whatever the story, just didn't feel good physically to get out and take care of that. Well, we come along and we make sure those moments happen. So we spend the money on grooming the hospice pet, vaccinating them, getting them up to speed with that. We can help them with their next forever home if they needed and wanted to. Pet food. Sometimes there's just not enough money to buy the pet food, or my cutie pie hasn't had any name brand for a year. Well, let's see if you'd like to try that again and just make it special for while the patient and the pet get to be together. So
that's
wonderful. It's a pretty sweet program.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the pets are allowed at the hospice house?
Yes, they can come and go as they want to as well. We just make sure they have their up-to-date vaccinations. But if they didn't, well, guess what? The Pet Peace of Mind program can step in and help make that happen. So the pets can come and go in the hospice house as well.
What kind of difference has that made for the patients and the families you get to serve?
It's hard to describe what it has done in the human mind and human spirit. But man, once you're physically watching the moment, you know that this mattered. And here's an example of a lady who had 2 poodles who had not been groomed, had the eyes that just didn't, you know, were bleeding and just needed help, and all just a big ball of fur and needed help. Nails needed clipped, just looked worn down. Well, we were able to just put those little cuties in a couple carrier boxes and say, we'll see you at 4 o'clock tonight. Now, which groomer did you use? And they would tell us which groomer. We pick up the phone. We have a relationship with groomers mm-hmm. and veterinarians here that will give us a break if this is a hospice mm-hmm. patient's pet, so that we can help use that money with that in mind. And we'll schedule that. We show up, pick up these two cute little poodles, put them in the little carrier. We'll see you at 4 this afternoon. The patient is sitting there all day long. We've had two staff come and go during the course of the day to check in on her. And all she wanted to talk about was, I can't wait till these two show back up. The volunteer brings the two poodles back, opens up the door, and they look like they had just been at the American Kennel Show. They were so cute. And to watch those poodles land on her lap and the joy of having them smell good again, having a fresh haircut again, being taken care of, because, you know, as a pet owner, you spend a lifetime making sure they are taken care of. And when you don't feel good physically and you can't do that as well as you used to, knowing someone stepped up to fill in the blank, man, that's priceless.
Were the poodles just bouncing around, happy as can be?
Happy as can be, moving around, jumping off a chair, licking all over her. She was so overjoyed with how cute they looked. She would say, I haven't even seen them look this cute since they were little. That's moments where we can walk out the door and know that that moment mattered. Mm-hmm. It may have cost us $45 through the Pet Peace of Mind program. It was worth mm-hmm. every penny that made that moment happen in that evening with that gal in her.
Tell us again how we can buy those calendars so that we can make more moments like that happen.
Sure. So you can pick up the calendars at the hospice house, or you could pick up the calendars at administrative building. They're also on sale at the hospital gift shop. And then if any businesses would like them, I would be happy to deliver them myself. They're $5 a piece, and they're absolutely adorable.
That's it?
$5.
Yeah. And 100% of that goes mm-hmm. directly back into the Pet Peace mm-hmm. of Mind program. I also want to say we just did two recent adoptions. I'm not in Chicago anymore. I just placed a donkey.
A black,
beautiful male cat. So I would, and it made such a difference, you know, knowing that they're, you know, it's going to find a home and someone's a loving home, someone's going to take care of it. And a lot of times when we reached out to people, very generously, people that the hospice has already touched in their lives are the people that have come back to say, I want to help.
Yep.
And come through some adoptions.
Do you know social media has helped us so much with the Pet Peace of Mind program? Because mm-hmm. what will happen is sometimes the patient may die unexpectedly or mm-hmm. quicker than what was projected. And sure enough, there is a dog. There may be a cat. There may be a bird that mm-hmm. we don't know what to do. And so we can put it on social media and say, we are looking. Mm-hmm. The family wants us to try to help find a home. And through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram with Hospice of the Ozarks, within usually 2 to 3 days, someone steps up.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened with the donkey. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what happened with this black cat 2 days ago.
How much does it cost Hospice of the Ozarks for your Pet Peace of Mind program annually? On an annual basis, I mean, what's the cost?
It's averaging so far in the last 3 years anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. This year it's been around $2,000 is what we've spent.
Okay, so we need to sell some calendars.
We need to sell all of them that we have in order to pull it off for 2018.
Or if someone is sitting there, it's the end of the year, it's been a really good year in the stock market, they might need to cash out some things if they want to make a donation at the end of the year to help them towards their taxes, or if they're just so moved that they want to ensure this program goes on and on, how can you help?
They can help with, we just started an annual appeal campaign mm-hmm. where we're asking folks at the end of the year to help support not just the Pet Peace of Mind, which is a designated only fund. We do not use hospice donated money for that particular Pet Peace of Mind program. Because most folks, when they mm-hmm. give money, they think they're giving it to the patient and the family. So we want to make sure the patient or the donor actually tells us, I want it to go to the Pet Peace of Mind program. Mm-hmm. But if you donate to Hospice of the Ozarks, it goes toward every service and medication, medical equipment, the time that's spent there with them, the overall picture of what Hospice of the Ozarks services provide, that we honor veterans, massage therapy, beauticians, all these things that are part of our package, that's what fills in the blank. And this last year, we were around $250,000 short of what Medicare and Medicaid could help us with. And it's the donations that filled in the blank. And we're still around $50,000 that we're searching for right now to try to make sure that we can end this year, this month, and pay for everything. And so this donations matter.
How many patients do you serve on an annual basis?
Annual basis is around 400 patients. This year it'll be right around 400 patients.
And you can help all those patients and help with the Pet Peace of Mind program by purchasing one of the calendars that are available, again, at Hospice of the Ozarks. You can find it at the gift shop on Baxter Regional Medical Center. If you have any questions, you can always call us here at KTLO. I'm sure we can help point you in the right direction. Greg Lane, thanks for taking time to share the story of Hospice of the Ozarks with us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Have a good Saturday. Thanks for listening to Local Matters on KTLO.